May I ask you to ponder the cost of where you are right now? The cost that you may have, the ideas of what is really going to be costing for you. And put first the kingdom of God and then test out the Lord in this regard. Try not to go so foolishly involved with funds and the like that you don't have enough to finish. Secondly, consider with me in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15 how we're to talk to other people and how we're to talk to family. He says, sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. What he's saying here is not to just give any answer. He's saying be ready to give an answer. But he says, until you do it with meekness and fear, don't do it. Don't give the answer. But do it with meekness and fear. You reckon we ought to talk to other people in our family as well as friends in that kind of way? Instead of the way of, you sit down there, let me tell you what you ought to believe, what you ought to think, what you ought to do. Instead of the approach that is roughhousing and scouring to someone, you'll do what I say to do as long as I tell you to do it, as long as you're here. Is that the approach of 1 Peter 3:15 in teaching anyone, including teaching our children? Let me beg of you, is there a better way? You may say, well, I was reared that way. Well, just because we were reared that way and we somehow or another had somebody out there that balanced things pretty good. I had some grandparents that balanced a lot of things that later on in life, my dad and my mom would say such things as, you know, that which I decided to do wasn't the best decision. That wasn't the best way to do it. They'd have never recognized it had it not been for Gramps and Mama and their way of guiding a young man. My dad was kind of an individual who kind of let every tub sit on its own bottom for a time. And he took me out in the woods one day, and way out into the woods one day, and then he ran off and left me. Left me to find my own way. Well, I couldn't find my way out. I couldn't find north, south, east, or west. And it was kind of one of those things where I walked around and came back to the spot where I began. You know how you do that? You think you've gone a long, long way away from, and then all of a sudden you recognize you're back where you really started. And he got a real jolt out of that. He enjoyed that and everything. And he was telling my granddaddy about that. And my granddaddy listened with interest and said, okay, all right, yeah. And the next week, when I was up there at his house, he said, son, let's take a walk out in the woods. And my granddad showed me how to mark things as I went so that you know your way back. He said, now, don't do this quickly, but wait a few weeks and mention to your daddy, his son, let's take another trip out in the woods. Well, the expression that I heard later on really applied to that situation. I waited 2 or 3 weeks of time. I don't know if it's the look on my face, the smile that I had, or whatever have you. But I like marking my path as I went so I'd know where I was going back. But I don't know if it's the way I looked or the way I said. But anyway, I said, Daddy, you want to take another trip out into the woods? And he gave meaning to the expression I heard since that time. He smelled a rat. You remember that expression? Smell a rat? Nothing quite like a smell of a rat. All right. He smelled a rat and he said, well, I don't know. You might find your way accidentally back out by that time. And he was telling my granddaddy about it. He knew he wanted to go on another trip in the woods. And he said, well, did you take him? He said, no. He said, you ought to took him. Well, no. I kind of smell something was up about that. You've been helping him out a little bit. Helped me out a whole lot for the rest of my life. I know how to mark my trail as I go along, wherever I'm going. You know, along the way in life, you have to help people with meekness and fear. Meekness in a way of approaching somebody not overpowering, not overshadowing somebody, not commandeering someone. I know there's a place to say, whoa, wait a minute, fire, let's run. I know there's a place to do that. I also know that in a crowd, you can stampede over people. And there's a better way to say to a few in the back, leave out, there's a fire, leave out, there's a fire, leave out, there's a fire, until one by one the rogues get up and go and leave, and you have everybody outside rather than trampled underfoot. I know there's a not always possible to do that, but I want to do it a better way. The Bible teaches me that in life, you live life better, you teach children and your family better, you rear them better, if you speak to them with reverence, respect, and meekness within your heart. You guide them better. Then, number three. Go back in the book of Proverbs, chapter 27 and verse 12. I think we have one of the finest passages for life and for family rearing. Spoken by Solomon there in Proverbs 27 and verse 12, when he says, the prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. The simple pass on and are punished. In life, when we see something up ahead, a danger up ahead, in the lives of others perhaps, in our own approach to going down a road perhaps, in our approach to someone working in a specific art, a specific thing, we need to be people who see the danger ahead. And when we see that danger ahead, hide ourselves. Guard ourselves, as it were, that meaning of that word there. Take precautions so that we don't all of a sudden get into the same throes of a problem that we saw it before others did. And when we see danger up ahead, evil that is there. When we see evil going on in someone's life and we figure out, you know, Solomon had troubles when he was elderly and he had those many wives. And the Lord said that they would turn his heart away from God. And we tend today to say, well, that just doesn't apply to me. It applied to Solomon, but it doesn't. No, we ought to take heed. And that's what the Apostle Paul would address the thoughts in the book of Romans in chapter 15 and verse 4. Those things written aforetime were written for our learning. That we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Patience and comfort of the Scriptures. Being patient enough to read something. Patient enough to hear what God's Word says before about this. And as a result of before about this, we find ourselves warned, as it were, there's evil up ahead.